The Sackville United Church proudly hosts a new service tucked just inside its front door on the intersection of Bridge and Main Street. It's an interactive dispensing service, otherwise referred to as a harm reduction vending machine due to its resemblance to the beloved snack dispenser. While there are snacks in the machine, its main goal is harm reduction by way of free supplies for substance use and educational resources. CHMA has covered the anticipation and eventual installment of the machine over the past few months, but just in case you haven't heard of it before or you need a refresher, here's the executive director of Ensemble Moncton, Debbie Warren, explaining the history of how the machine came to Sackville.
You know, it was just one of those fluky things. I actually had gone to a conference in Toronto, in Ottawa, where I first saw the machine. So in November of 2019, and I just knew I had to have one of those for Moncton. And then I'm trying to think where I'm going to put it. But when COVID came along and there was some funding available, I applied for two machines. I didn't know where I was going to put them. I didn't know at all. I had an epiphany in the shower one day to think, oh, the one in Moncton, instead of trying to think of where to put it, just put it on the doorstep and it gives 24/7. That was an easy one. But right around that time, I think a day or two before I was going on vacation, Ashley gets in touch. And she explains where she's working at the corner drugstore. They'd like to know if they could have resources to pass out. And so we had this dialogue, and up she comes from Sackville, and we load her up with brochures and stuff. And then just before, I think it was just before I went on vacation, I also got the notice that I had been successful in funding for two. So I just said to Ashley, I went, do you think you might want to have one of those machines there? And she says, I explained it to her. She said, yes. Then fast forward. So, but I go on vacation, right? I'm going for a month on vacation. But while I'm on vacation, unfortunately, a family member passed away. And lo and behold, the reverend performing the funeral service happened to be yours truly, Lloyd, from Sackville United. Now, I knew Lloyd from way back when he was at the Moncton Church, Wesley Memorial. And him and I had talked about doing a drop-in center for people in the sex trade, which way back then, like that's what, 15 years ago, that was pretty out there. But things happened. Lloyd moved on, went somewhere else, and we lost contact. So I see. Oh, yeah, he went to prison, exactly. He did. So anyway, I see him beside the graveside, and I think, oh, wow, I got to chat with him. But it just so happened he came out of the sun and stood under the same shade tree as I did, so he made it easy. Long story short, I gave him a quick 101. He gave me his card. So then when I get back from vacation, I said to Ashley, you go talk to Lloyd. He's cool. He's on our side with harm reduction. And I guess the rest is kind of history. But it was, we needed someone who was interested in harm reduction because it's quite an investment to have that machine. Someone who was interested, a community that was interested, would buy into it. We didn't want to have big uproar in the community. And Sackville just seemed to be so open to it that it was just, let's do this. And then I'll be honest, Sackville's close to Moncton. I was thinking of us trying to serve it, right? Like, this is before we hired Ashley. But it was like, oh, we're going to have to travel down to Sackville. Little do I know, thank goodness we have Ashley from Sackville. Because if it's anything like the activity around our machine, I would have had to move to Sackville.
The machine came to Sackville in part due to the advocacy of former pharmacy tech, Ashley Legere, whose passion for harm reduction ignited projects such as free paper bag harm reduction kits.
And I have worked in this, in pharmacy long enough to know that that person's taking 10 needles and using them for 21 days. So that means that they're using over and over again. And, which could, you know, in a small community can very quickly lead to things like Hep C, HIV spread, and endocarditis. And around the same time, someone in our community ended up with endocarditis. And I watched her young family fall apart. And I thought, something has to be done here. Nothing is being done here. There's no resources here for this very vulnerable group of people that I serve every day. And so I called Debbie, and she came off vacation to come and see me. And she gave me all the supplies, and I came back, and it was a lot of trial and error. I put everything they gave me into a bag and started passing it out. I'd say, can I give you something for free instead? And, everyone very at first pretty standoffish, but it went from one person to the next day it being two people. And then in a week it was 10 people. And by the time Debbie got back off vacation, I had gone through 2,000 needles, and I had served roughly 40 people in the community. And that was by not advertising, not letting anyone know except for the people who were coming in and asking for it. And it just spread like wildfire. So I knew immediately that there was a need.
Yeah.
Or that I was actually fulfilling the need of the gap that was down here.
The machine is stocked with supplies similar to the ones Legere handed out during her time at the corner drugstore, along with personal protective equipment to protect against COVID-19 and unused materials for substance use. Legere says that the unused supplies are there to ensure that people don't make themselves sick or injure themselves by reusing supplies over and over again.
So as of today, there will be short needles and long needles. The preference depends on what your whatever your preference is. And in those short and long kits are two tourniquets, two cookers, 20 alcohol swabs, and 20 cottons. Those the cottons, for people who don't know, it's so that people don't use cigarette butts to draw up the substances that they're going to use. So another everything new every time. So there's those two kits. Then there will be meth pipes, crack pipes. There will be gloves. I was able to go with some of the grant money to buy gloves to give out to the community. There will be snacks. Right now it's just Nutri-Grain bars. There will be COVID masks and hand sanitizer. The naloxone kits, and condoms. So there'll be two different
hopefully
types.
Hopefully cook your wash too.
And hopefully cook your wash. So some education material that will also have a lighter, which explains like why it's important to cook your wash for 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
To kill the bacteria. So it's, and it's all about, also on the machine will be resources, community-based resources, which we'll collect and then have our developer add to the front. So the corner drugstore, there will be where social development is, GMB, the hospital, CHEMO crisis line, the mobile crisis intervention unit,
food bank, those types of things, food services.
Harm reduction and accessibility go hand in hand. If a service is meant to reduce harm in a marginalized community, then it must be made accessible to all who may need it. Warren says the interactive dispensing service is barrier-free in terms of anonymity, as no one needs to provide ID or their real names in order to access the machine.
We're trying to keep it low barrier access, so basically right. It's free. We don't want any money in the machine. We don't want anyone breaking in to think they can get money because it's empty. But it may be, like we're still working that with our data folks, it may be that you pick a code and you use that code to access. So our needle distribution service, we do not have clients' first and last names. They give us code names. So they could be Minnie Mouse 1989. That's good. So then we have a demographic. But right now we don't use those codes. That's why I can tell you the number of visits that go to the machine, but I can't tell you the number of unique individuals, whereas in our needle distribution service with the coding. But we're going to keep it low barrier so that we want people to be comfortable to coming to get the resources there.
Legere adds that the machine can support those who are unable to come into Ensemble or other harm reduction organizations. Instead, they can just walk in and out of the church quickly and anonymously.
I find here too that there's a lot of people who don't come in, who use the machine, because that coming in's a barrier, coming in, and if you're agoraphobic or if you're embarrassed, and I'm like the least judgmental person. I'm the only time I ever finger wag is when you don't come in enough to see me, because then I'm worried that you're not coming in to see me for some reason. But I have found over the course of the last a few weeks for sure, that people who come in are saying, oh, I've never been here before. I just use your machine. Oh, your machine's not working, or it's not full right now, or something's happened to it. And so I came back here, but it's the first time I've ever been here, but I've used your machine since December. So I find that it's accessing more people than we've even knew existed.
Warren is impressed by the swell of support from the Sackville United Church and the community as a whole throughout the project. She says New Brunswick has the second highest number of people who inject drugs per capita and is grateful to see the community recognize this issue.
Because at Ensemble, we sit on this very busy street corner, and it's felt for years like we're all by ourselves, but we don't own this crisis in our community. We're part of the ship and maybe part a rudder, but we need other people to be the rudder with us. And so I thank you for that. I mean, New Brunswick, people don't know this. And it's a recent stat I found out. New Brunswick has the second highest number of people who inject drugs per capita in this entire country. We are only second to British Columbia. So people need to really think about that when they say we don't have a crisis. And so I commend Sackville for recognizing there is an issue and they're going to do something about it, and that the folks that live in their community will be treated with respect. So I thank you.
Legere says the presence of the machine presents the opportunity for community education about substance use, which will in turn create a safer Sackville.
I'm going to raise a family in this community, and it's important to me to have it as safe as possible and have the community as aware of as possible that there is an issue, and how do we keep our kids safe? How do we keep our community safe? And this is, like Debbie said, this is just part of that initiative. It's just part of what we do. It's a very important part, but it's the very first step in educating. So, you know, when people know that it's there and they're curious about it, then they can ask more questions. They can reach out and get more resources. They can learn, you know, about the substance use, about how it affects them, that there are support systems in place. It's been now online for them, and that there are people in their community that are advocating for them, that are there for them, because that marginalized group of people in our community are isolated, and more isolated now than ever because of COVID. And it's nice to think that maybe someone who comes to the machine, it knows that now that their community loves them and stands behind them. Yeah. And then the church does too. And that's important to me.
Check out the machine for yourself at the Sackville United Church at 110 Main Street. Everyone is welcome to use it for any reason. There are snacks and sanitary supplies available if you're in a jam.